Hello, everybody. Good afternoon. My name is Bob Knight, and I'm Director of Workforce Policy and Government Relations for Equus Workforce Solutions. I'll be presenting today with my co-presenter, Esme Grewal. Esme, you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. This is Esme Grewal. I'm Vice President of Government Relations for BrightSpring, covering federal affairs.
And BrightSpring, as many of you know, is our parent company of Equus. Anyhow, today's discussion is key elements of the American Rescue Plan Act, which Esme told me at HHS, at least, they're now calling it the ARPA. Is that right, Esme? A-R-P-A.
That's right, but ARPA.
the American Rescue Plan Act, to add to your acronyms. And what we thought we'd do today is go through some of the elements that are important in terms of it, their impact potentially on workforce, as well as just some that are kind of interesting, and then go on to next steps and other legislation. We apologize for the technical problems, so we're a little behind schedule, but I think we have a line to 1 o'clock, and we are open to Q&A at the end of this presentation, and the operator will come on and tell you how to ask a question if you have one. But going real quickly then, the big news in ARPA, I guess, is the stimulus checks. And if you recall from last year when Democrats wanted to give everyone $2,000, or almost everyone, the Republicans balked at that, and then eventually we ended up with checks for $600, which were issued late last fall, spring, early winter. And so to make up for that, the ARPA now adds $1,400, and it goes to anybody with an adjusted gross income on their tax for either 19 or 20 of $75,000 or less, or a single head of household at $112,500, or adjusted gross income for a couple joint filers at $150,000. So it's a little bit down from where it was last year in CARES and the follow-up bill. But it still covers an estimated 85 to 90% of all households in the country. So it's a large stimulus. It's probably estimated in the range of $400 billion out of the overall ARPA, which is $1.9 trillion, if, you know, whatever that means. It sort of boggles the mind, but it's around $400 billion of that amount. So about 20% of the overall bill is going to direct payments. And those payments, for a lot of people, are already in their bank, or they will be sometime this week. In addition, there is $1,400 per dependent. In the past, it was 17 and under. Now it just says per dependent. So if there's a dependent on a tax form, you get a $1,400 payment. So that changes the amount of money that's in the economy drastically over the next couple of months. That money goes out very quickly. The other big change, and the one that maybe has the most impact on unemployment, is unemployment benefits. And you recall that from the CARES Act, we have a bunch of unemployment insurance programs that didn't once exist. And these programs are being extended now through September 6th. First off is the Pandemic Emergency Unemployment Compensation Act, which has been increased from 24 weeks to 53. Now, that's on top of people, this is open to people with state who are eligible for state benefits, so it's on top of state benefits, including extended benefits, and it could go 53 weeks, which is, you know, pushes the overall benefit into the multi-year range. The second one is the maximum duration of the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program, which was aimed at independent workers, people that were not eligible for state unemployment benefits, and their benefits are now extended from 50 to 79 weeks, and in a few cases in high unemployment states, it can even be up to 86 weeks, and so that's for the ones that are referred to as the Uber driver program, but it's for self-employed people in general. They are supposed to show a specific COVID-related reason for their unemployment, and that's been a source of controversy in some states for a while now. And finally, there's the program that everybody's aware of called the Federal Pandemic Unemployment Compensation Program. That's the add-on check, and that's extended. There were Democrats trying to make it back to 400, but it's the final agreement is 300, and that runs through September 6th as well. Everybody, including Trade Act people who receive an unemployment insurance benefit, get the extra 300 every week, regardless of the size of their benefit. So that has an impact on who's looking for work, how soon they're looking, and what kinds of pay they're looking for when they do go back to work, and would include a lot of people who hope to be recalled and probably are waiting out for recall. But those folks are going to be in your career centers in a number of cases. There is one program that is a direct workforce program, and that's the retraining program directed at $386 million going to the Veterans Affairs. And it's for a retraining program for veterans who are unemployed because of the pandemic. It mostly focuses on community college, career schools, not on four-year colleges. And it's handled directly through VA. And but my guess is you're going to see veterans who might show up with your vet reps in the career centers looking for information on the program. It's probably going to take a while. It's got a lot of rules in it, and it'll take a while to sort those out. So I would expect something a little later this year in terms of specifics for that program. I also wanted to spend a little bit of time because priority of service includes low-income individuals and families as a key constituency for WIOA programming, in particular the adult program and the youth program. And there's a number of programs within the Recovery Act I call it recovery. I apologize for that. For the Rescue Act that have an impact on income. And the first and biggest is Child Tax Credit, which is now going to rise from $2,000 a year to $3,600 for children 6 and under, and $3,000 for children 6 to 17. It's only for a year. It'll expire at the end of 2021. It's also going to be paid out on some regular basis, that periodic basis that hasn't been determined for sure, but the hope is that they can even out low-income family income by sending payments out more often than just at the end of the year. There's also an enhanced earned income tax credit for workers without children. And then there's a number of others that I can run through real quickly, but may have an impact in your career centers as you work with people. There's $19 billion for state and local governments to help low-income households pay back rent, rent assistance, and utility bills. There's $10 billion to help homeowners pay mortgages, utility bills, and property taxes. And there's $5 billion aimed at reducing the risk of homelessness among low-income populations. There's also additional money for SNAP and the Women, Infants, and Children, or WIC program. And there's a continuation of the program that provides free and reduced lunches for children through the end of the pandemic. That runs through the end of the pandemic instead of expiring at a specific time. And then in terms of work, there's $40 billion aimed at child care providers through the Child Care and Development Block Grant, and there's $1 billion for the Head Start program to increase early childhood education, health, and nutrition services for low-income children and families. And then finally, for some of you, the most direct, there's $1 billion additional for TANF to provide non-recurrent, what they define as non-recurrent short-term benefits, which would be things such as utilities and energy assistance, emergency housing, transportation assistance, child care. There are also some health benefits that Esme is going to go into in a bit, but what I wanted to point out and why this probably is, in the view of a lot of social scientists, the most significant portion of this bill. An analysis by Columbia University Center on Poverty and Social Policy predicts that the impact of the overall bill would be to reduce poverty by a third and child poverty by more than half. So the whole assistance, along with the direct payments, has a huge impact. And with that, there are a lot of jobs in government, and a lot of those jobs have been lost in the reduction of revenue for cities and states and counties. And so I'm going to pass this on to my colleague to talk about that and some other elements of the bill. Esme.
Thanks, Bob. So again, this is Esme Graywall, lead federal affairs for Bright Spring and also Equus. And just as a quick break, Bob and I, we keep up with the pulse of workforce issues on the Hill. We're really thankful for the work you all do. And I'm going to list a number of other things that are in ARPA, but just a reminder that we want to be a resource for you. So if you need details about any of the items we discussed, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. So one of the big items that you might have read about that's in ARPA is the aid to state and local governments. And that has been a discussion point in negotiations, and it was something that that Democrats were very committed to. They did ultimately get $350 billion for state, cities, tribal governments, and territories. And this is really in reflection to budget shortfalls. State and local governments have shed 1.3 million jobs since the pandemic began last year, a loss of more than 1 in 20 government jobs, according to an analysis by the Washington Post, and at least 26 states were hit with revenue decline. So as we break this down just a little bit to give you a sense of how that $350 billion works, a little over $195 billion is actually for states and D.C. The rest goes to those cities, tribal governments, localities. And the money is available to be used through December of 2024. So it doesn't have to be immediate, which I think is a really interesting feature of it. It can be used to respond to negative economic impacts. It can respond to workers performing essential work, provision of services due to reduction of revenues in states, as we talked about, to make investments in water, sewer, or broadband. And it can also be used for premium pay for essential workers doing essential work. And they can pay this premium pay at a rate of up to $13 an hour and a maximum of $25,000 per worker. It cannot be used for pensions. It cannot be used for tax cuts. So those are two things that Congress made clear. Another interesting feature of this funding is that the Treasury Secretary will have the authority to release it in two phases. So half of that money will be released within 60 days of a state providing certification of their need. And then the other half is actually the Treasury Secretary is able to keep it over the course of a year and release it based on a state's unemployment rate. So another really interesting feature of how this money will be distributed. After a year, if there's still remaining funds for that state per their formula, the state would have to recertify to receive the remaining funds. So it's not, immediate, just out the door, and I wanted to give you a sense of that formula. Some other items that are within the ARPA include healthcare coverage. As Bob noted, there are reduced healthcare premiums for low and middle income families that increase the ACA, the Affordable Care Act premium tax credits for 21 and 22. There's an interesting provision about COBRA subsidies that was negotiated in the final bill. It actually provides a full subsidy for unemployed workers after being laid off or in need of COBRA. There's additional health provisions around the pandemic response, a lot of funding for coronavirus testing and contact tracing. They increased the size of the public health care workforce, and also funding for vaccine distribution and supply chains. You may have heard in the news as well that there is some funding for schools and child care block grants. There's almost $130 billion for K-12 education. A lot of that for school infrastructure, improving ventilation systems, also buying PPE and implementing social distancing. Colleges and other high school institutions get almost $40 billion to make similar changes. And then there is also business relief and retirement security. So $25 billion in grants for restaurants and bars that have lost revenues because of the pandemic. So really targeted relief there for restaurants and bars. There's also $7 billion in additional funding for the Paycheck Protection Program loans, those PPP loans. And there's $15 billion economic injury disaster loan advance grants of up to $10,000 per business, as well as grants for multi-employer pension plans to stabilize and avoid insolvency. And just a note on PPP, while they did add the $7 billion for PPP, there's another bill that's actually moving through Congress right now that would extend the application period for PPP another 2 months since it expires at the end of this month. So that is an ongoing congressional or legislative issue that Congress is working on right now. So lots of different components to this bill, and happy to provide further details upon request. I guess I'll just jump ahead and go into the infrastructure bill, which is really seen as what the next step is for this Congress and on President Biden's priority list. After finishing out this bill, which went through the reconciliation process, which is a budget process that allowed it to go through by Democratic approval only, the next bill that that the administration and Congress is eyeing is on infrastructure. And right now we're hearing about a bill of a cost of around $3 to $4 trillion over 10 years, or about $300 billion per year. There's not a lot of clarity around this. We've been talking to folks on the Hill, analysts, folks all around Washington, just not a lot of clarity yet on what exactly is going to be put out there yet as the primary proposal. We are hearing that there will be a proposal that is aimed to be at the with the president as of next week. So we might get a better view into what this will be. And in terms of content, infrastructure is really kind of the backbone of it. That includes roads, bridges, rails, broadband, but it also includes things like public health infrastructure. And there's been a lot of discussion of including other domestic priorities, including universal pre-K, extending that child credit that Bob described, including drug pricing reform, which is something that Democrats had tried to achieve in the last session. To pay for it, they also want to include tax reform. There are climate issues that are really important to a lot of Democrats. And then also what's really important to President Biden and many Democrats is continuing to strengthen the Affordable Care Act. So these are other items that we might see within here. And of course, jobs as well. And in terms of jobs, I would say, you know, and Bob and my discussion with the Education and Labor Committee leadership, they really, really want jobs to be focused in here. I think part of the reason that Bob mentions recovery is we've been waiting throughout the pandemic to hit the recovery stage in terms of legislation. And the Education and Labor Committee has made it clear that they don't feel like workforce has gotten adequate attention yet, and they want really big initiatives in this next infrastructure bill. And so that is something that we hope to see continue. We'll be advocating for it to continue and don't want to see that fall away as the infrastructure bill comes into place. Again, the big question is pathway, reconciliation, or normal order. Normal order would require bipartisanship, but would allow them to do a lot of different things. However, reconciliation, that budget process, would again allow a Democrat-only passage, but it would restrict some of the things they'd be able to do through that process. So I will pass it to Bob for further insights in this infrastructure bill.
I think the infrastructure bill, thanks, Esme, the infrastructure bill has an awful lot of job implications. Certainly $15 billion focused on workforce out of the Ed and Labor Committee in the House is an important part, but there's also areas where workforce proponents can chip away and gain a foothold in more non-traditional areas. For example, lobbying right now to put 1% of infrastructure into workforce training, which 1% of a multi-billion dollar bill could be more money than is currently available through WIOA. So there's opportunities like that, and the other big one would be the climate change aspects of the president's budget, although I think even under a reconciliation bill, the administration may find it hard to get some of these aspects of their bill through I 51 to 50 vote is about where it would shape up. Whereas on the other hand, for more general infrastructure, I think there are a lot of Republicans who might want to go along. And I think we'll see a return to earmarking so that your members of Congress are going to start saying, let's fix old Highway 29, needs some resurfacing, we'll put it in the bill. So an infrastructure bill is going to go on and on with specific instructions if it can pass. That's sort of we ran through a $1.9 trillion bill, and when you try to highlight what's going to be in a $3 trillion bill, I guess we'd need an hour-long session to talk about it. We have a few minutes left, and I just wanted to at least point out a few things that are also down the road here. One is wheel reauthorization is on the agenda, and it does look as though the House may want to do oversight hearings. I think you'll see some bills to renew WIOA, but I don't necessarily think we're going to see actual action. It seems to me more likely that we'll extend the program for another year or even a couple of years. The same with TANF. TANF has expired many times over the course of going back to when Bill Clinton first signed that bill in 1996, I believe, and we're up for reauthorization once again, and have been for a while, and probably going to be a tough year to do it. However, tax reform in child care and some of these other things have an impact on how TANF might look down the road, and therefore it could be that they want to wait on TANF till they see what other things happen. And then, obviously, there's the WIOA budget and appropriations process, which is just kicking off now and is supposed to be done in the spring. But I think we're going to see another year in which funding for WIOA and some of the other programs that you work with goes down to the wire sometimes in the fall, and probably looking at level funding initially. There will be efforts to increase it. We're still holding out some opportunity for an increase one way or another for workforce in the WIOA program, Job Corps, and some other portions, but we'll have to see. And we'll have some further follow-up on those. Esme, anything you want to add to close?
Yeah, I would just add, I think that Bob knows I've been very hopeful for WIOA to come up, and our latest information is they do hope to raise it in the summer. But similar to Bob, as much as I'm hoping for that piece of legislation to come up, because I think it's a great opportunity for bipartisanship and an opportunity to focus on workforce. I agree with Bob that I don't know that they'll get through it in that timeline. And so, but it is something that we will stay close to, and they've asked us for ideas. So if you all have ideas and things that you'd like to see changed in WIOA, please let Bob and I know. We will get that information into the committee. And again, on the funding, we expect to possibly see a president's budget proposal as soon as next week is what we're hearing. That, as we know, is often delayed, but it sounds like maybe next week. And I think the funding budget in the fall period is going to be a tricky time. We're hitting the debt ceiling come this summer, and obviously we've transitioned into a new administration, and the dynamics in Congress are very tricky. So I think fall is going to be just a very, very tricky time, and we'll be keeping very close to it and be weighing in with Congress. And I'll leave it there so we can open up for questions, Bob.
Well, I would just add, Esme, that the high water mark in the Democratic administration is usually what the president proposes for workforce, so I think that is a very important number to be watching in the next week or two. And beyond that, I would agree with you that there's an opportunity for bipartisanship on workforce. And one of the things that I guess I would just end by pointing out is the economists are all telling us that the post-COVID world is going to require new skills and different skills, and a lot of the old jobs are going to go away. And a lot of the staff on the Hill are wondering, how are we doing with training? What payoffs do we have? Who wants training? What kind of training? OJT, work-based learning, other forms of work-based learning, classroom training. And they're interested in learning more about what we're doing in that arena and what its payoffs are. So it's something you might want to think about. If the nature of work is changing, how are we adjusting to help people navigate those changes? And with that, yes, we'd love to hear your questions, and I think the operator can tell you exactly what to do at this point if you have a question.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We welcome your questions and comments. If you'd like to register a question, please press 1-4 on your telephone keypad. You will hear a 3-tone prompt to acknowledge your request. If your question has been answered and you'd like to remove yourself from the queue, you may press 1-3. Once again, for questions, please press the 1 followed by the 4. One moment, please. As a reminder, for questions, please press the 1-4 on your telephones now. And there are no questions at this time. I'll turn it back to you.
Well, if there are no questions, I think we can leave you to go back to your day, and we appreciate the time you spent with us. And as Esme indicated, feel free to contact us with questions, follow-up. And my email is rknight@equusworks.com, and Esme, yours is?
A bit more complicated. Esme@brightspringhealth.com. Love to hear from you all.
And I think those emails may be on the invite, but if not, there's a phone number, so feel free to call as well.
And ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference call for today. We thank you all for your participation. Have a great rest of your day, and you may disconnect your line.